Unless you've been asleep, if you'll notice all the songs, and I thank Brother Andrew and Madeline for cooperating with me, has to do with anchors and storms. And that's my message tonight, simply called Anchors of the Christian Life. All of us go through storms. Some of us are right in the middle of one. Several in our church family have just come out of one. Or as the Southerner says, some of you fixing to get into one. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 27 for our text. One particular verse. Sunday night, Brother Knickerbocker spoke there when Paul was giving his testimony to King Agrippa, who was almost persuaded. Remember, that was one of the words. That was in chapter 26, and then we come into chapter 27. God has already told Paul he's going to make it to Rome. He claimed his Roman citizenship. I think you know the story. And so Paul is setting sail. We begin at verse 9. Follow with me, please. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said to them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth towards the south, west, and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strike sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, not have loosed from Crete, to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Idria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks," this is my text verse, "they cast 4 acres out of the stern and wished for the day." Paul finds himself in a storm. Notice verses 14 and 15, there's a great wind. Even had a name, the Bible called it Euroclydon, very tempestuous wind. Then notice, please, in verse 17, I believe it is, quicksand. I wouldn't necessarily want to get into quicksand. You all seen pictures and know that. Then notice in verse 20, dark times, storms bring dark times. In fact, it says, and they're all hopes taken away. You look down in verse 27, 2 weeks of darkness. Then notice in our text verse, they're near the rocks and conditions are not improving. May I say, folks, we as Christians, we as a church, go through storms similar to this. Tempestuous winds, quicksand, dark times, near the rocks, near destruction. But oh, we're given a thought here, and that's what I want to leave with you tonight, of what to do when the storm comes. Notice in verse 29, here's what they did. And fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Very quickly, I want to give you 4 anchors that will help you in the storm. By the way, Paul used a lot of naval expressions in 1 Corinthians 9:27. One of the things he said, one of Paul's fears was that he would be a castaway. He would be a castaway. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a castaway. I want to finish. How about you? And he had a fear of that. Thank God we can go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and find out he wasn't a castaway. He said, I fought a good fight. He didn't say he won every fight. He said, I fought a good fight. I want to give you 4 things that will help you in the storms come. And you may be in the middle of one. I don't know. It's between you and God. But let me give you the first anchor. The anchor of the Word of God and the inspiration of Scriptures. Take your Bible. You probably know the verse, but let's look at it. 2 Timothy, please, chapter 3. Another great 3:16 verse in the Bible. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm telling you, this is the first anchor, and really the other 3 I'm going to give you is all founded upon this first one. Amen? And by the way, many people are shipwrecked today because they failed to believe and obey the Word of God. Did you notice in our text, Paul said to them, I perceive, that, let me paraphrase, this is not going to be a good trip. But you notice the centurion didn't pay any attention to the man of God. Pastor Weaver, Dr. Barber, my pastors over the years, they're up here, folks, trying to help you. Now listen, I understand there's storms that run into us, okay? Can't be helped. But a lot of storms we have, we run into them because we fail to listen to the man of God who loves us and is trying to teach us something. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Aren't you glad we've got an inspired book tonight? And it's profitable. What's it profitable for? We won't take time on, but for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Ladies and gentlemen, in my storm time, I get closer to God and I get closer to His Word. I suggest you do the thing. It's going to be the anchor that's going to help us. Paul said in our text, he said, I believe God. I believe the Word of God that will help me through. Why do we need it? Listen to Ephesians 4 and verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and from, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We're in a storm. We need to cast out an anchor. We understand what an anchor is. It's heavy weight that will get down there and dig in. And we've read the verses and sung the songs into the word, into the rock, Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Just keep going a little bit after Timothy. A couple verses in 1 and 2 Peter talking about this wonderful anchor that we have. 2 Peter chapter 1. And you know it. It's familiar, but we'll read it. Verses 19 and 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. I'm sorry, did I say first? Did I say 2 Peter? Should be 2 Peter, please. Chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. We'll get it right here in a minute. Dr. Barber was here, he just quoted, amen. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now turn to 1 Peter verses 23 and 25. We'll get straightened up here. 1 Peter chapter 23 and 25. I'm talking about this wonderful anchor in the Word of God. And by the way, this anchor will not rust. This anchor will not let us down. This anchor will endure. 1 Peter verses 23 and 25. And by the way, without the Word of God, I wouldn't be saved. How about you? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Being born again, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, there it is, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth. There's an anchor that's going to endure forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. D.L. Moody, he wasn't a Baptist, but I think he knew the Lord. I'm sure that he did. Shook two cottons for Christ. Wrote this, talking about the word of God. He says, this book is the word of God. It tells of the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. Christ is its grand object. Our rule the heart and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is given you in life, will be open at the judgment, and be remembered forever. Anchor number one, the Word of God. You get in that storm, grab a hold of this Word, a strong anchor, one that will not rust. Oh, Job, if anybody had any storms, Job did. In chapter 23 and verse 12, he said, I esteem, that means he holds high, the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Do you have the anchor of the Word of God? They cast out 4 acres and waited for the day. Anchor number two. This one is not a popular one. What is anchor number two? Can I just tell you? It's the blood atonement. It's the blood atonement. Hebrews 9. 22, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We're familiar with Exodus chapter 12. Moses has been fighting with Pharaoh, let my people go. Had all the plagues. By the way, if you study that, every plague was against one of the gods, small g, of Israel. Study that out. But the last plague, he told them to take the blood, unblemished lamb, and sprinkle it on the doorpost and on the lintel. We don't put it there at the footstep, the threshold. We don't step, we don't tread on the precious blood of Christ. And then he had some other things. He told them about what they were to eat. And then he said, chapter 12, verse 13, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Listen, he didn't say, when I see the baptismal waters, I'll pass over you. He didn't say, when I see your church membership, I'll pass over you. He didn't say, when I see your good works, I'll pass over you. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass. I will pass over you. I don't know about you, but for life, I need the anchor of the blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 says, we're redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. By the way, it's not a popular anchor. We're called slaughterhouse religionists. Thank you for that compliment. I need the anchor of the Word of God. I need the anchor of the shed blood. The story was told a couple of weeks ago. I think even maybe my brother Pauline, I shouldn't. Can't do any better than him, but I think it's very fitting here about the Christian lady who was in the hospital. She was dying. A Catholic priest came in. She saw him. She said to him, why are you here? He said, I've come to absolve you of your sins. She said, come a little closer. He came a little closer, not understanding why. And she says, let me see your hands. he showed her his hands, and she says, "Sir, you're a fraud, because the only one that can absolve me of my sins is the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood and nail prints. You do not have any nail prints." Amen. I understand the Methodists, and there's some good Methodists, please don't. I'm not trying to offend anybody. Had a new hymn book out, and they took everything out of the hymn book that mentioned the blood. May I say to you, they have a hymn book, but they don't have a gospel hymn book. Amen. The storms. What do we need in the storms? We cast out four anchors of the Word of God, and then the blood. Number three, quickly. I love this one. The anchor of the bodily resurrection. This separates us, folks, from all other religions. They may have Muhammad, they may have Buddha, they may have all these gods, small g, but guess what? They're dead. I serve a risen Savior. I have an anchor of the precious resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, we have to believe that to be saved. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath what? Raised him from the dead. You cannot be saved if you don't believe in the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. Chapter 17, if Dr. Barber's here, I had him go ahead and quote the great message on Mars Hill. But in verse 31, Paul preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm telling you, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, I don't quote it, but we know what it is. That's Paul said, "I delivered unto you, first of all, which I received." The gospel, what is it? It's the death, burial, and what? Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, Job again, chapter 19, verse 25. Job had that faith in that anchor and all the storms he went through. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Going through a storm tonight, maybe physical problems, maybe loss of a loved one. I bet you, some of you going through family problems. I'll stand in line with that one. Gets a little rough, gets dark, gets kind of windy. Get close to the rocks, get close to the quicksand. Oh, but they said that we're going to cast out four anchors. And we're going to wait for the day. The anchor of the Word of God. The anchor of the blood atonement. The anchor of the bodily resurrection. What's the fourth one, Brother Rigsby? Here it is. It's the blessed hope. The anchor of the personal return of the Lord. John 14, we read it a lot at funerals. In essence, God said, "Look, I'm coming back. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And if I do it, and God's a God that cannot lie." Acts chapter 1, he said, "You men of Galilee, why are you standing there gazing around? This same Jesus is coming back in like manner, bodily." I'm telling you, I need an anchor. And I'll tell you what, my schedule, folks, I like the plan. Got that? Organized or agonized. Now, some of my secretaries at church here won't believe that. But you know what? There's nothing on my daily planning sheet that would stand in the way of Jesus coming again. These three anchors I just gave you, we've got already, but this one is a promise that God gives it to us. Titus, turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Right after 1 and 2 Timothy there. And we even have our word here that I'm going to give you. And also in Hebrews. Titus chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And by the way, knowing that the Lord's coming, this passage tells us how we ought to live. We don't go off in a mountain somewhere like a monk and live there and just wait. This is what we ought to do. Look at verse 12, Titus chapter 2, teaching us. What are you trying to teach us? That denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We're not of the world, folks. We're in it, but we're not of it. We should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That's what we're to do. But hang on, look at verse 13. Looking for, read it with me, class, that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ. The fourth anchor, the personal return of the Lord. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Just keep going right. You're not far. We'll nail it here. Hebrews chapter 6. Talking about the hope. Talking about the anchor, the hope. Look at verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6. Which hope we have as a what class? Anchor of the soul. I'm glad I finally found the word anchor. My message. It's an anchor. What's an anchor? Jesus is coming again. And Titus taught us how to do that. What are the anchors? It's the book, the blood, the bodily resurrection, and the blessed hope. You're familiar, as I close, with a song. It's called, "It Is Well With My Soul." Horatio Spafford, before I tell you what you already know, had a lot of storms. This sounds like something like I would do in finances. He bought some property in Chicago, and then there was the Chicago fire. A year or so later, they had a little boy, and he died. And then a little later, thinking that the family needed some rest, he sent his wife and children. He was supposed to go, but business situation kept him back. You know the story. They got near England, and they were ran by another boat, and much like we saw here over in Italy, Mediterranean, the ship went down. His wife sent him a telegram. Simply said this, "Saved alone. Saved alone." And I thought about that. I thought, how in the world? How in the world could someone survive all that? Well, I got lucky. And when I looked at the song, you may say I stretch it a little bit. I don't think so, since I'm preaching it. When you do it, you can do it. I see the four anchors. He didn't dwell on the heartache and the storm. Listen, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say. There's the word. Taught me. Taught me. Teach me about your anchors, Lord, when the storm comes. Taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Verse 2, though Satan buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless state and hath shed his own blood for my soul. I think I saw an anchor there. Verse 3, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross. Ah, what's the cross? Speaks of death and the empty tomb, the burial and the resurrection. Anchor number 3. What was anchor number 4? Listen, verse 4. Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Let's stand, please, to our feet. Musicians, come. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Another song goes something like this: as a tree beside the water, as my Savior planted me, all my fruit shall be in season. I shall dwell eternally. I shall not be moved, anchored to the rock of ages. I shall not be moved. All four anchors speaks of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He shed his blood. He rose again. He's coming back. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I must confess, I don't know what kind of invitation to give. Maybe you just want to come and thank the Lord for the anchors. Maybe you've let go of one of them. Maybe you're trusting a rope of sand, man's advice and man's counsel during the storm. Nothing wrong with seeking Christian counsel. Don't misunderstand me. But if God speaks to you, if you want to come, just thank the God for the anchor, or say, I need this anchor. I'm going through some trials and troubles. None of our business what it is. The Lord speaks to you as we sing a hymn of the invitation. You